Let's go back to the Lord in prayer in our prayer of illumination. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you this morning and we just ask your blessings on the reading that we share this morning together. We ask your blessings on the message that has been prepared. Use it to the nourishment of our spirits and our hearts and our souls as we serve you in this community and within this ministry of faith. Gather here this morning our friends and family and loved ones. We're gathered here in love of you, in relationship with you. Be with us now as we share in your word and in your gospel. We ask all these things in our living Savior's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So our message this morning comes from John 3:16. And all of you are familiar with it. But we're going to read it anyway. Okay? So this is what the Lord has to say in John 3:16. I'm in the New Living Translation, so it's going to sound just a touch different. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Very simple. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So again, good morning and welcome back to worship. It's good to see familiar faces. It's good to have all of you back. This morning we read out of the Gospel of John. We shared together one of the most famous passages in all of Scripture. It begins like this: For God so loved the world, He gave. And if I ask any of you to finish that line, you could. Even before I read it to you. It wouldn't matter really where I had asked you to do that. I could have stopped you in your lawn while you're mowing the grass, or caught you at a Friday night football game, or found you here in church, or just anywhere really. And if I'd have said, Betty, repeat this to me. Brian, repeat this to me. Dan, repeat this to me. You guys could do that. And it's not because you have memorized that scripture. You likely have already memorized it, but that's not why you can recite it. The reason you could recite it, even if you hadn't memorized it, is because your walk of faith, it's the verse that provides you the foundation in your faith. You know, last week I was absent this Bible school lesson that we teach on Thursday nights in our Bible study program. And the book that we're reading now, Not a Fan, it's very challenging. It brings you back to self-conviction quite a bit of time. And this lesson was no different. And the lesson geared its hope and its all its foundation on John 3:16. And I wasn't aware of that when I prepared this message 2 weeks ago, but again, they anchored themselves in John 3:16 as they should have. And so it is your foundational scripture found in the Holy Word. And the reason that is faith is a sense of belief that says yes to God's loving overtures in our lives. And the reason I call those overtures is because even when we don't deserve it, or even when we don't ask for it, God intercedes with an overture. And He just comes right in. Sometimes even when we're not inviting, He still comes into our lives and provides His grace and His goodness. God cared so much for you and I, He sent His beloved Son. Not because we are perfect, but because we are sinners and we are broken. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to the earth and lived among us. And when He went to the cross, that's where He died for us. And He paid our debt. Now, two weekends ago, I married a young couple and we prayed the Lord's Prayer in their service. And it's something that I do with younger couples. And we laid our hands on them. And it's a very special, moving thing that we do. And the young bride came to me and she said, Now, are we going to say debtors or trespassers? And I said, well, we're going to say debtors. And she said, good, I'm good with that. And so probably this is a whole nother topic matter for another sermon, why we say debtors versus trespassers. But in short, Jesus paid it, our debt. The challenge for you and me is that we must submit our will and our desires to God, to God's control, where we then find His Spirit. When we do this, our old ways pass. And Scripture speaks to this in another passage. And we grow spiritually with God, and we are renewed in Him. We have a new life. We get this all wrong most of the time. As followers of Christ, we get this wrong. True faith has nothing to do with our human efforts. It's hard for us to rationalize, but it doesn't. It doesn't have anything to do with our social achievements or our material wealth. It has nothing to do with any of that. Instead, saving faith, the faith that you and I believe in, the saving faith, the saving grace, says that God loves us so much, all we simply have to do is ask for His intercession. Receive it, and it shall be given. It sounds like this: Lord, I am helpless. I'm a sinner, unable to affect my own salvation. I trust in Your forgiveness, which You have freely offered to me in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And today I ask for it. I accept it. This is the faith that delivers us from ourselves and our consequences we deserve. You see, the debt God paid, the debt Jesus paid for you and I, is the consequences of our actions that we truly deserve. And without Him, we would get. But yet we won't, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But most importantly, our saving faith gives us the opportunity to make changes in the present, the here and now, today, that will help plant seeds for a new life for not only ourselves, but all those who are around us. For several weeks in preparation of this message, I have been looking for a way to draw a memorable parallel to this passage, something that will stick with you, perhaps. Something you can recall when thinking back on this morning's message. I wanted something completely different, and there it was, staring me in the face while reminiscing over my mother's cookbook. And so that's what brought us to the cookbooks this morning in the children's message, in the cookbook of life that we call the Holy Word. Last week when I was in the vestibule, Tim came to me and he said, "Be careful how well you preach there, buddy. I think the Baptists may call you to the pulpit." So I may have pushed you just a little too hard last week. So this is going to be a little easier message, hopefully, for you to grab a hold to this morning. But I guess where I want to focus is that point of our faith where we understand that it's our job to plant the seeds and serve Christ in this ministry to a point where we are an ingredient. So again, I wanted something completely different. And as I was reminiscing through my mother's cookbook, walking back memory lane in those cookbooks, not only in Bethel's but in Pines, I found myself looking at the book because it was this time of year. It's that time of year where all the baking talents come to life in a family unit. Now, apparently Trevor's notified us that we're not going to call Penny to make pizza, but we may call her to bake a cake or prepare her famous meatballs. But this is the time where we start to cook and do all kinds of things that out of love, not just for nourishment, but out of love for each other. This is that time of year. And as I read my mother's cookbook, while reading it, the answer that I'd been looking for this passage, that memorable parallel, came to light right on those pages. I realized that faith is like the pumpkin roll in my mother's cookbook. Faith is like the ingredients found in that pumpkin roll. Our faith begins with simple ingredients. And after a time of love and care, there it appears in real life. It's presented to all who will share in it and be nurtured from it. And it's there for the world to see. And it started simply with some ingredients. As we charge headlong into Halloween this week, Thanksgiving and Christmas are sure to follow at a rapid pace. If my mom were here today, her kitchen would smell of freshly baked goods, and one special delight would be the aroma of her pumpkin roll. All of this and any good recipe starts with good ingredients. You have to use the right ingredients to make great recipes. No substitutes, my mom would say. Good ingredients are gathered for far and wide at the best places to create the holiday delectables that you and I all look forward to in the coming weeks. You know, I remember as a kid, we'd travel all over Augusta County to get one ingredient. And I'm thinking, how much does this dessert or this baked good cost after we've put all this gas money into one ingredient? But yet when we travel far and wide and we grab those ingredients up and we put them together and then we use them, wow, what a meaningful thing. Looking at mom's recipes for specifically her pumpkin roll, you soon realize why this thing is so good. The ingredients, some handwritten in her book, included flour, sugar, pumpkin, cinnamon, baking soda, and eggs, certainly. All of these mixed together make the delectable batter that is formed by hand with nurture and care and baked into a roll. And I have failed to even list the ingredients for the cream cheese filling that goes inside. But the important thing to call your attention to is that you need all of these ingredients for the roll to come out correctly. Every single one of them. Wherever it came from, whether you had to travel to Weir's Cave or Harrisonburg, it didn't matter. You had to have this particular ingredient. So what happens if an ingredient is left out? What happens if there is no pumpkin in the pumpkin roll? What happens if there's no baking soda? Well, here's what my mom would say. It's going to be a flop. And if that happens, I'll put it in the trash. And I'm here to tell you that's exactly what she did. She would make a dessert, and if it did not meet her taste test, or if she didn't like the way it looked, it was in the trash. Many times, Ashlyn and her would cook at home and come to find out it's in the trash. Because it did not meet her expectation, or it didn't taste the way she had hoped it would. And thus, something was lacking. In short, when a main ingredient is missing out of anything you cook, it simply doesn't come out right. And perhaps, as my mom would, the reason she would throw it in the trash was she didn't want to serve it up like that. But where I want to call your attention to is if your ingredients are missing, it very well could be a wasted effort. Because you didn't take time to get the right ingredients. So there's a lot of similarity here in our faith according to the gospel in both this life's cookbook as well as the cookbooks that we have described. In short, there are ingredients to the gospel message that you and I must be present for so that it is correct in our life. I don't have to tell you that there are many groups out there that claim to have a biblically centered message, a Christian message, and all the ingredients look right, but there's a few missing. And there it is, meaning no message at all. What is needed in the message of the gospel to make it correct? What are the ingredients that are important? Well, I want to share with you John 3:16 that we read this morning as one recipe card for the message of the gospel. You see, it begins with for God. Why did God even care about us? What was God's motivation here? John 3:16 tells us so clearly that it was because of His love that God planned this from the beginning. You and I, we all screwed this up with Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. And yet God loved us so much that He made a plan. From that very moment, He made a plan. And here we are today. Then the passage goes on that He gave His only Son, the sacrifice of His only child who was His Son. You know, you and I cannot talk about the recipe of life, the gospel, at all if we don't mention the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the most important ingredient to life today in our young adult message. All that God planned rests on the shoulders of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who lived a sinless life, which we learn about in Hebrews, and offered Himself as a sacrifice for all of us at the cross. This was part of God's plan. It tells us that in Acts. Jesus rose from the dead and now offers life everywhere who believes in Him. This is God's plan. God allowed His Son to die so that you and I may simply live. That's powerful. That's powerful to know that in this one passage we learn the ingredients are about God and His plan. We learn that the ingredients are about God and His love. And then we learn about the ingredients of God and His sacrifice of His only Son. And then it comes to me and you. It closes in this chapter. It closes in this recipe of the gospel that whoever believes in Him shall not perish and have eternal life. That's me and you. We're in this ingredient of life. What is the result of what God did so long ago? The result of Jesus on the cross, that is our penalty has been paid. Our debt is over. And that the penalty for sin is death. And that tells us in Romans 6:23, but that's something that you and I are not going to suffer. Because here we are, we found ourselves full circle in 3:16 as a simple ingredient in the book of life. The result of believing in Jesus Christ is being in heaven without God forever. The gospel message must include our sinfulness. Now, we don't like to talk about this. This is where our Bible study kind of went a little south last week. We don't like to talk about our shortcomings. We don't like to talk about our sins. We don't like to talk about things we got hidden in the closet. We'll talk about anything you want to as long as it means hope and love and grace and happiness. But you start talking about some bad things, we don't like talking about this. But friends, in the gospel, both sides are found. There's an Old Testament and a New Testament. There's sin. There's wrongdoing. There's forgiveness and hope and love. Yes, it all includes. But you and I bring both of these elements to this recipe. It must include our sinful nature. It must include our brokenness. Because God came to the world through Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and provide us the promise of salvation. Without any of these ingredients, it's sort of like a pumpkin roll or a dessert that's missing an ingredient. God and His plan, His love for the world, what He gave through His Son Jesus Christ, the greatest of ingredients in our gospel, but yet you and me. We are all included in John 3:16 in this recipe card. It's funny how God works, though. I've been working on this message for 2 weeks, trying to draw a familiar, everyday parallel to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It hits me, after all the study, while I'm reading my mom's cookbook. And then I tried to figure out a way to close this where you guys would be captivated by you being the ingredient. You being the key person to John 3:16. You being the key person to the discipleship of Jesus Christ and how you need to work in Christ's ministry. And so, lo and behold, I receive a messenger post from a friend. Not giving it much thought, I didn't open it until that afternoon, noticing that it was a video and a message. And then when I opened it, actually, it was God giving me the closing portion of this sermon. So here's what the message said. As we go into this, I want you to remember John 3:16. I want you to remember the ingredients in a cookbook that gets you to the end result. And I want you to remember Jesus is the chief ingredient, but so are you. Listen to these words. One morning before serving breakfast at a church function, the pastor asked an older farmer decked out in his bib overalls to say grace for the morning meal. The old farmer agreed and he said, "Sure, I'll be glad to do that for you, preacher. Let's bow our heads." And then he began, "Dear Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor opened one eye to glance at the farmer and wondered, "Where in the world is this going?" Then the old farmer loudly then proclaimed, "Lord, you know I hate some lard as well." The pastor was growing concerned. Without missing a beat, the farmer continued louder, "And Lord, you know I don't much like that taste of raw white flour either." The pastor once again opened his eyes to glance around the room, and he wasn't the only one squirming in his seat at this point. But then the farmer closed with these words, "But Lord, when you mix those three ingredients together and you bake them, I certainly do love me some home fresh homemade biscuits. So Lord, when things come up that we don't like, when life gets too hard, when we don't understand what you're trying to tell us, help us to relax and wait until all that mixing is done. And it will likely probably be better than the biscuits before us. Amen." And there you have it. In the ingredients, in the mix, are the things most important. The things most important here in this cookbook of life, here in this guide of life, and you're in it. You're most important. Each of us are a main ingredient in our faith. It is our job to connect and combine with each other to be the bread of life that rises together within us. It is our job to serve God that way. However, in order for us to rise and be successful, we must remember that God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the chief ingredient. We don't go to the kitchen without it. We don't speak without it. We don't act without it. We don't counsel without it. We don't worship without it. We don't pray without it. But if we do all of those things with Him, we will never be a flock. We'll be a disciple of Christ Himself. So in the famous words of an old farmer, serve Christ daily. But do it in faith, where a sense of peace and relaxation will come over you, where each of us can wait for the mixing to be done. Because it will likely result in something better than we can ever imagine if we have patience, kindness, and love as part of our ingredients. It certainly will be better than warm homemade biscuits. Friends, it's our job to serve Christ. You are the ingredient to the cookbook. You are the base ingredients to the cookbook. It was God's plan. It was His love that brought us here. It was through His sacrifice in Jesus Christ. And it begins with us. He did it all for me and you. You are the base ingredients. As I ask the young people, what happens if the broccoli and the beef are missing? Then you don't have a broccoli beef casserole. We don't have a church without you. And because of you, here we are. Relish in that. Share the joy in that. For you are God's main ingredient, just like His Son. Amen.